The case of the investors who got unreality added to a documentary film. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Inflation seems to be tapering down as a statistic, if not in the prices you may worry about most. With new data this morning, I can now tell you that prices went up 6.5% in the year through December. The consumer price index fell 0.1% November to December. Let's look at this more closely by turning to Susan Schmidt, making a rare in-person appearance in our New York studio. She's head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Good to actually see you.
Good morning.
Well, inflation seems like it's responding to the medicine a little.
Well, the market's going to like this because the inflation numbers came in just as they were estimated to be. So that always is reassuring to the market. That probably means we're going to have another positive outlook from investors as they think that things are coming back under control. That core inflation, so ex food and energy, and that's important because those are two very volatile components. That number was up 0.3% month over month. That's what the market expected. That's lower than it has been. And it means that things overall are going to be seen as trending in the right direction.
Yeah. And if you look year over year, which a lot of us like to do, that core inflation, where you don't include your gas prices, you don't include the food prices, that went up 5.7% in the year through December. That's getting a little lower.
It's getting lower. It's still not at the Fed's target, which is 2%, but it's certainly moving in the right direction. It's a lot better than where we have been. And that trending down is what the Fed wants to see as they decide how much to increase interest rates going forward.
Susan Schmidt, she's now head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Always good to see you.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
The World Bank is warning in a new report that a slowdown in global growth will hit developing countries especially hard. This from inflation, higher interest rates, less investment, and Russia's war on Ukraine, Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports.
The World Bank projects global growth will come in at just 1.7% this year. In other words, a sharp slowdown.
That slowdown is quite historical in the sense that it is the lowest growth rate outside of global recessions since the early 1990s.
That's Ayhan Kosei, director of the Prospects Group at the World Bank. Kosei says that kind of slump puts the global economy on a razor's edge.
Just one more shock could cut the outlook to a global recession.
Those shocks could come from a range of factors, including higher than expected inflation and corresponding interest rate hikes aimed at containing it. The World Bank also cites a resurgence of the COVID-19 pandemic or an even further escalation of geopolitical tensions as potential risks. As those risks mount, lenders are more likely to stick to so-called safe havens, says Susan Pozeau, who teaches economics at Western Michigan University.
The developing world and emerging markets are somewhat more vulnerable to being classified as less creditworthy,
making borrowing more expensive in countries already bearing heavy debt loads, with consequences for everything from education to healthcare to the response to climate change. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
We watch one documentary a month for Econ Extra Credit. We learn together, and you can follow along in our free newsletter. This time it's a classic from 1977, Pumping Iron, featuring the elite muscle men of the time, including a fellow named Schwarzenegger, who went on to other things. Lou Ferrigno, who himself would become a TV star, is shown trying to dethrone Arnold, who is depicted full of dastardly cunning. It's a documentary that, in the manner of current reality TV, manufactures some of the conflict that you see on screen. Now, years later, the champion bodybuilder who later became governor of California talked about how changes were made after some of the money people behind the film didn't like an earlier, perhaps more accurate version.
All the investors always said, look, the training is terrific, what they are doing is terrific, and all this, but how much can we look at this footage of them doing squats and chin-ups and sit-ups and all this? It's boring. Even though exciting to them, but it's boring to us to watch. So therefore, let's create some drama, some conflict.
That's from a later 2002 doc called Raw Iron, about the making of the original pumping iron. For more, let's turn to Oliver Lee Bateman. He's an historian, a journalist, and a man who's been known to lift some iron himself. His life changed when he saw the film as a young fellow. Mr. Bateman, welcome.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's not just a documentary film that tells us about this sport. It actually is in dialogue with the bodybuilding industry itself. It changed the trajectory, I think, of powerlifting.
Yeah, that's correct. Before pumping iron, bodybuilding was an activity that was growing certainly slowly, but it was very much a subcultural activity. And it was very much an activity with a lot of negative connotation. You know, when if you were involved in bodybuilding, that was something that you might spend hours on it, but you'd keep it to yourself. But pumping iron, by telling the story that it did in the way that it did, it really, really reshaped the discourse on bodybuilding nationally.
I mean, some of this is the raw charisma of Arnold himself. I mean, he has a special quality and it just, you know, lights up the screen.
Yeah. The goal initially was, we're going to film these bodybuilders doing bodybuilding stuff. And we're also going to have this, you know, slender fellow, and some of the listeners might remember him from the Harold and Maude movie, Bud Cort, in the film, you know, doing exercises with the athletes. And that would sort of be the initial narrative arc or something like that. And as this was coming together, it just didn't work. And they had to kind of on the fly figure out how to reshape all this footage into something that was meaningful. And so what they did was they decided to center on the conflict between Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is obviously the most charismatic thing in the film. And he participated in it, as he talked about in a making of documentary 25 years later, by emphasizing his own sort of villainous or egotistical qualities as the upstart, you know, future Incredible Hulk actor Lou Ferrigno, you know, partially deaf, dealing with a lot of issues, is portrayed as this kind of would-be, up-and-coming, underfunded, urban Arnold killer.
Good versus evil, good guys versus bad guys, very strong charismatic characters, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely right. And an acquaintance of mine, Vlad Uden, has made these Generation Iron documentaries that depict latter-day rivalries in exactly this same relationship. And this is just the framework through which viewers have become accustomed to seeing bodybuilding. Like, it has to be done through this kind of narrative. Or, you know, if you've ever watched one of these shows, if you've ever gone to one of these shows, as I have, and sat up front and watched the posing, there's no drama beyond that. But there wouldn't be a huge or even like moderate public interest in this spectacle without narrative.
Yeah, and these days, if you're particularly sculpted, that's your thing, you could post on Instagram and the world would see you that way.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way, it shows sort of like social media has kind of democratized the production of this sort of thing. Like, you can be a character like Schwarzenegger is in the film just by filming yourself with a cell phone camera and some filters.
Oliver Lee Bateman, historian and journalist. Thank you very much.
David, it's been a pleasure.
One documentary a month on marketplace topics. We'll also look at steroid use in bodybuilding, legal without prescription back when pumping iron was made. That changed by 1990. Follow along with our Econ Extra Credit newsletter. If you haven't already, sign up free. Marketplace.org/newsletters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.